Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I hope you know that I would never hammer you to do something that I wasn't willing to do myself. So I try to lead by example and not just all bark and no bite, do as I say, not as I do. So I went to the 12:30 showing today of Unplanned here in the Raleigh area, Wake Forest, actually. And I was thrilled to see the theater was about half full on a Friday at 12:30. When most normal people are working, to see people half, it was half full. That was awesome. And that was actually my fifth time seeing. I saw it online once, a while ago, and then three screenings that we did in North Carolina last week, which were very difficult and very heavy. But today, I think, cause I could go in there as just a normal person. I didn't have any responsibilities. It wasn't my screening that I was hosting. It racked me. I almost lost it about five times. And, it's just incredibly powerful because it's true. And it's something you have to see. You have to get out and you have to get out this weekend. Don't talk to me about Monday or Tuesday or next weekend. It's this weekend. This is the weekend that counts. That's the movie business. Doesn't matter what the content is, but that's the movie business. So we have to get out there. We have to support this. God is giving us a golden opportunity, to say the least, where they were thinking about making this film as far back as 6 years ago. God kept saying no. Then he says yes. And then it's coming out right in the midst of this travesty of justice that we're dealing with across the land right now. One of the people in the movie that you will not like in the movie, her name is Cheryl in the movie. She's the Planned Parenthood heavy, but who is actually an incredible, wonderful, powerful sister in the Lord. And her name is Robia Scott. She calls in from Southern California. Robia, how are you, my sister?
I'm great. Keep those compliments coming there, Steve. I appreciate it.
Well, you're an easy one to compliment, so that's not asking too much of me. But you're out there at the National Religious Broadcasting Convention. I mean, here we are, Robia. It's some limited openings last night, nationwide right now today. How does it feel?
Oh, my gosh. It's the day we've been waiting for. And thank you for letting your listeners know that this is the weekend. I've had some comments on my post, too. Oh, I can't wait to see it next week. No, not next week. Tonight, yeah. Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
When we need to see this movie. And I've just been, I mean, even in the last 2 days, I've been in about 10 different screenings and talking to audiences, and it's incredible. I mean, the reaction across the board, people are blown away. They can't believe the movie, how emotional it is, how beautiful it is, how impactful it is. It's been extraordinary.
Yeah, I've got an article in front of me. I don't know if you saw this today. It was out of Central Florida Post. A pro-choice review of a pro-life film, Unplanned. Here's what the gal said. I was moved to tears several times during the film and actually appreciated the way that the workers of Planned Parenthood were portrayed. The women in the clinic were made to seem like they really did believe that what they were doing was morally right. But just, she goes on. Here's what she said, Robia. By the end of the film, I was completely distraught, questioning everything I had ever believed about what abortion really was. I was hungry for more information. I went to Google. I talked with friends and I prayed. That is a pro-choice person that went to see the movie.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I did read the article. I just posted it, and that is exactly what we're hoping for. You know, it's not about pointing fingers. You're bad. You're wrong. It's about letting those on the pro-choice side really get a clear understanding of what they're believing, and it might bring up some stuff in them to make them question. So I love her response. I love that article. The fact that now she's questioning what she's always believed in, and now she's willing to do a little research. See, that's what I love. It's not like this is the only way. It's like, hey, investigate this. Why don't you learn and go a little deeper into what it is that you stand for? So, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, it's really been encouraging to see that. And that is the reality of it. That's the point and the power of the movie, is that it just exposes you to the truth. There's a men's Bible study that I go to that's been around for about 40 years now. And Graham Lotz's husband started it. He's in heaven now, but it's still going every Friday morning, about 80 guys. And we've been talking about Unplanned for the last 2 weeks. And this morning, Robia, a gentleman, a friend of mine, I didn't know this, he stood up and told us that he had gotten two girls pregnant when he was young. Both of them ended in abortions, and this movie is moving in a powerful way. And people are coming out and sharing what the road that they've been down, and especially, and you see this in the movie, there's so many people. You know, my wife Gina, who volunteers at a pregnancy crisis center here in Raleigh every Wednesday. so many people buy the lie. It's nothing but a blob of tissue or cells. It's nothing. And there's just so many lies and, of course, so much death.
Well, even on Planned Parenthood's website, I believe they have a little blurb on there that says, you know, most women don't really suffer any post-abortive, you know, emotional issues. And oh my gosh, talk about a lie on that one. Talk about a lie. You know, that's what they try to feed you, that it's just, you know, clump of cells, it's not a baby, it's real quick, it's done, you move on with your life. But the truth is that most women don't move on with their lives. And men, too. Men are affected by this as well. Yeah. And I've encountered men and women 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later that love God, that are strong in their walks with the Lord, but still carry guilt, still carry shame, still carry regret from that decision. And hey, you know, God is a God of forgiveness. Regardless of the choices we've made, we've all made some bad choices. That forgiveness is there and available. So, you know, there is a place to release that and let that go and move forward unencumbered. But to try to act like it's no big deal to have an abortion and it won't affect you, you know, do it quickly so you can move on with your life. Talk about the ultimate lie.
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how people are moving in that direction. As it's, yes, it exposes the brutality, exposes the violence of abortion, which is why it's R-rated. And it's difficult and it's heavy, but there's such a redemptive story throughout the whole movie, and especially towards the end as Abby comes out of there. And I know you certainly have a heart, Robia, for women through your ministry, and especially right now with post-abortive women. Speak to the women listening today that are afraid to go see Unplanned this weekend simply because they're post-abortive. What do you have to say directly to them, Robia?
I would say, first of all, there is absolutely no shame in condemnation. I would also say that some, you know, we've gotten feedback that people would be maybe nervous for post-abortive women, that this movie would bring up some feelings and remind them of their past. But as a minister, you know, my core of my ministry is emotional healing. And the book I wrote, Counterfeit Comforts, talks about those traumas, those wounds we have from our past. And because we don't deal with them, you know, we turn to counterfeits, alcohol, food, shopping, all these things to deal with it, and that we have to feel and deal in order to heal. Yeah. So for post-abortive women, if this movie triggers something and brings it up, I say don't turn from that. I say that's a great thing. Amen. This is an opportunity that God wants to do another layer of healing for you, another level of healing for you,
that's
for this
right.
to come up so that you can receive the love of God, so that you can receive, you know, total healing and forgiveness and move forward.
Amen.
So,
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's the freedom that's offered. That's the freedom that was secured at the foot of the cross. That's the freedom that's available to you, even if you have an abortion or even multiple abortions in your past. Robia Scott, God bless you, sister. We love you. Thank you for your work on this. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right, you too. We'll talk later. When we come back, Mara Cassini, another of the actresses. We'll be right back. Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God is using it all over the country. I mentioned this earlier. Central Florida Post, a pro-choice review of pro-life film Unplanned. And this girl, God bless her, was willing to go. A friend was encouraging her, challenging her to go, and she went. She said she was moved to tears several times during the film. She said, by the end of the film, I was completely distraught, questioning everything. And so she's telling people, if you're already pro-life, go and see these people who work in those facilities, believe they are trying to help, and that's why they're there. If you're pro-choice, please go and expose yourself to a different perspective and compare that to your own reasons for your vote. If you're unsure and curious, just go. And that's from a pro-choice person who has now come face-to-face with a reality that she probably had never faced before. But having a chance to talk to some of the wonderful actresses involved with Unplanned today, unplannedfilm.com is the website. You can find a showing. But this weekend is it. You have to see it. I mean, it's going to be around next week, but if we don't show up this weekend, it'll have a real short run. So that's on us. You have the knowledge, which means now you have the responsibility. Mara Carsini plays the role of Megan. Megan is one of the abortion workers, actually in a pivotal scene when she asks Abby, hey, Abby, they need your help in the procedure room. And that's what moment that really opened Abby's eyes. Mara, thanks so much for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So what was this like for you to be involved in this movie? And I know you've done a gazillion interviews and everything, which I understand and appreciate, but it's not a normal role. It's interesting how people found out about it and got involved. But what's been your own personal story, Mara?
My experience as well was just like not a straight cut path. There was no like audition and casting director and all that stuff. I was not submitted by a manager. I randomly found Chuck and Carrie's email online. And I heard that God's Not Dead 3 was coming out. And to email, like, directors and producers unsolicitedly from an unknown actress is so not good, you know, etiquette. But whatever. I wasn't working. I needed something. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it. And they emailed back, and they were very kind. But they were like, no, we're not working on God's Not Dead 3. Do, however, have a pro-life film. And I was like, immediately a bit trepidatious, like, oh, what am I getting myself into? Yeah. But I've always been pro-life, so I did still want to at least read for the roles. So I sent a few tapes, and then I auditioned for them in person for a few times. And there was some, like, miscommunication with how I was cast. Totally my fault. I didn't understand. But apparently I was the first one cast. Had no idea. I was working in a restaurant in Burbank. I was hosting. And Chris Jones, who is the producer, and I kind of knew him at that point, but not really. But he came in, and I sat him. And the other host came up to me after talking to Chris and was like, hey, that guy says you're in his movie. And I was like, wait, what? In like the most frantic shift of all time, I found out. I was like, wait, what? But then I just had to go back to hosting. But it was such a random, weird experience for sure.
And then what was it like to, you know, all of a sudden you're playing a person that works in a Planned Parenthood clinic. And that's the interesting paradox in the movie and the paradox that exists for people in that environment. Because in many ways, it's just a normal day. You guys are friends. You're having fun. You close up shop one day, have a baby shower for Abby there on the end of a day when 35 or so babies had been terminated. Well, what was it like to kind of get into that world?
That was really interesting. It's fun playing characters like this because no matter what, when you're acting, you can't judge the character. Even if you do as a human being, I get it. But even if you're playing Hitler, you have to find a way to justify it, even if it's not what you believe, because otherwise it's not going to be truthful. So I had to totally shed my ego and my pride and all the things I, you know, thought were right and whatever, totally shed that off and think about, okay, this woman, Megan, genuinely wants to help women. And she really, really, really thinks that that's what she's doing, and that is her goal. And going from that perspective and building the character that way, rather from a point of judgment, it made me so much more empathetic. And I think, hopefully, it's made the movie more effective because, again, you're not demonizing the people that work there. It's not like they're the bad guys and all the antagonists and it's so, you know, propaganda. It's not that. These women are fun and cool, and as you said, we have a party, we hang out, we talking to Abby, she said we used to go on vacations together, we would hang out all the time. These are real women that this is based off of, so getting to dive into that with no judgment was really, really enlightening.
Yeah, that's been a really powerful tool for everybody that's pro-life, because we tend to, whatever side you're on, we tend to demonize the other side. And for me as a Christian, you know, Christ died for everybody. Everybody's got inestimable worth, no matter what they've done wrong, no matter what they're doing wrong. And Christ, really the only people I ever hammered were the religious big mouths of the day. He spoke truth to everybody, of course, but he only hammered the religious big mouths of the day. What kind of impact did this have on you personally, Mara, and especially the first time you saw the completed movie? What was that like?
You know, I've always been pro-life because I grew up pro-life. my parents were pro-life. And that's a very, very dangerous mentality to say, okay, I grew up this way, so I'll just abide by that. So doing this, I was forced to actually do the research, and again, research on both sides.
Yeah.
So the impact it had was just being able to realize fully the extent of the issue, rather than just being like, oh, well, this is what my family thinks, so I guess I think that, which again, is a terrible mentality. So I loved just being able to do it. And watching the finished product was really, really gratifying. I mean, I get something different out of it every time. I've seen it about 4 times now. Every time it's been something different. There's a new moment that really pulls me in. And I think that's special with a film. That doesn't always happen with film and television.
Yeah, and then how about then, that's a great point. What about kind of those darkest moments in the film when we're dealing with actual abortions, whether it was her surgical abortion that Abby was a part of, or her own experience with the RU486 pills? How did that impact you? Because that's not something most of us ever have a chance to see.
Yeah, no, it's not. It was obviously very moving. I had no idea about that pill before this project. I had absolutely no idea. And if I were pro-choice and I went into a clinic and wanted an abortion, of course I would do a pill rather than an invasive, you know, abortion, of course. So seeing that, like, I'm so happy they added that in the film. But it's really interesting because that scene was shot, we were working in a warehouse, like a sound stage, and so it was set up sort of like the fourth wall was not there. That was where the camera was. And Abby, or Ashley, who plays Abby, was inside doing the scene. And while I was not there that day on set, I heard that almost everybody on the cast and crew who wasn't directly working had circled around the soundstage with their hands on it, praying and praying and praying for her. And watching that scene back and knowing that, you can feel the presence of God and, you know, the divine intervention that's taking over her in that scene. It's so real. It's so real. And there was just so much prayer. And the same thing with the scene with Christina, who goes in to get the abortion that her father brings her in. That, I was on set for that day, and truly, set was so fun. You know, we were dancing and singing and doing all the fun things.
Yeah, I had a chance to visit there. We're up against the break. I had a chance to visit there. I was there for like a day and a half, and you could tell that God was doing something amazing.
Totally.
Mara, thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for your part in this film. God bless you. All right, you're welcome.
You too.
Talk to you later. When we come back, Robin DeMarco.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, magnified all over the world, lifted high.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Today is March 29th. It's the nationwide opening of Unplanned, which we've literally been talking about for 6 months and been real hot and heavy on it in the last 6 weeks. And of course, this week, every day, we've had the pleasure of talking to many of our different friends, some new friends, some friends that I've known for a while. I've known Joe Knopp and Daryl Lefevre, two of the three producers on the film, for about 8 years. I met them when they were doing things with the Irwin Boys and Woodlawn, and I can only imagine all that. So we got to be friends a while ago, and then met Kerry Solomon and Chuck Konzelman on the set of Unplanned. A little trivia question for you. Try to figure out if you can spot me in the movie. You could spot the fact that I'm 53 and thinning in the back of my head. That's the only clue I'm going to give you. But one of the things as a parent that's really, really challenging to think about as you watch Unplanned, it's one thing, and most of us as parents have children that have wandered from the faith here and there, or do some things that you don't want them to do and make foolish decisions. But can you imagine if your daughter, who was raised in the faith, all of a sudden is volunteering and then working at, and then a counselor at, and then the manager of a Planned Parenthood clinic? I can't imagine how difficult that would be to maintain a good, loving, kind relationship all the while your daughter's going off every day and doing what happens at a Planned Parenthood clinic. Robin DeMarco plays the role of Kathleen, who is Abby's mother in the movie. And I've really been looking forward to talking to you, Robin. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're very welcome. So what was it like, Robin, to kind of get into that kind of paradoxical character where you got to love your daughter and support her and try to be a cheerleader all the while she's doing something that, you know, is just kind of horrific? Well, how did you handle that as an actress?
Honestly, just from my own relationship with God, showing me the mercy and the love he has shown me of many, many failings I have done myself. Because I don't have kids. So this was a challenging role for that in itself. But I just, you know, knew the love of the Father and how he looks at us. So what I love about this film is it shows that love changes people, not judgment. And I think that's so clear throughout the film. What I also love is how they even approach the subject about people who are maybe pro-life, but aren't going about it in a way that's showing love. You know, the people outside you've seen the movie, obviously. So the people outside the clinic are not a part of the Coalition for Life or 40 Days for Life, but yet they're wearing Green Reaper costumes and yelling at the women and making them feel terrible. And I love how the movie addresses that, because that's not of God. That's, you know, so to back to your question, I pictured what it would be like to have a child like that. And of course, I thought of even my own family members who had walked away, because I was a prodigal too. I had walked away. So that just seeing how gracious God is, that's basically what I tapped into.
Yeah, and it's such a great point. I mean, that's right out of Romans 2. I think it's verse 4 that talks about it's the kindness of God is what leads you to repentance. Yes, you have to come face to face with your sin, because that leads to confession and repentance, but it's the kindness of God. When you're sitting there going, you know, the reality of that, which is a powerful scene, as you know, in the movie, when the full weight of what Abby had been doing for years fell upon her, and she just doesn't know how God could ever forgive her. And it's his kindness. When he goes, but he will, despite all of that, 20 complicit in 22,000 abortions, and the power of the blood of Jesus is even more powerful than that. It's just a remarkable reality, and it's such a beautiful point that you brought up.
Yeah, that scene is it's heartbreaking. I'm sure I would assume every believer has had that, maybe not to that extent of something like that, but they just said, how can you forgive me, Lord? How?
Yeah. And well, that's obviously what led John Newton to write Amazing Grace. I mean, the guy was a slave trader.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that God would save him, and after all that he had done, it's really, really remarkable. What was this like? I mean, with your career in acting and everything that you've done, how was this type of project compared to things that you've done in the past?
Oh, I've told Chuck and Carrie they've ruined me for movies for the rest of my life. It was amazing. I mean, they had a prayer ministry team there. People were praying over us all the time. I think Maura, who had just talked to you, Maura, and she was talking about that, how they're praying over the scenes and stuff. I mean, I literally got personally delivered from something just being on set, you know, with the prayer ministry team. It was incredible. And the other thing is, you know, it was still a movie, and there's still, you know, personalities and egos, and none of that affected it. Like, you did not hear one fight. You didn't hear any of that stuff that you normally do. It was so Holy Spirit driven that, yeah, I am probably ruined for the rest of my life.
that's okay. It's certainly worth it. Yeah, and everybody I've talked to, I actually had a chance to be on set out in whatever that little town was, north of Oklahoma City, whichever direction it was.
Stillwater.
And it was, you know, I walked in there going, that's the first time I had met Chuck and Carrie. I've known Joe and Daryl for years, but I'm like, wow, the spiritual warfare must be this. It must be all these attacks. And of course that happens, but everybody keeps saying, no, I mean, it really hasn't been nearly as bad as we expect it to be, because God has just had a covering over this whole thing the entire time. And people kept using the word anointed, that this whole project has been anointed, which is exactly what it sounds like you're saying.
Oh, 100%.
What are you telling people, friends, family, people that you know, in terms of going to see this movie? Because this isn't, for a lot of people, it's going to drudge up some things that perhaps they've suppressed or haven't dealt with in a long time. Other people just plain old, you pro-life people are nuts, whatever the case may be. But how are you handling that in your own spheres?
Okay, well, I live in Atlanta right now, but I was living in Los Angeles, where the climate is definitely more of a pro-choice climate. And I actually did email a very, I would say, powerful woman in Los Angeles that I knew she was going to be 100% opposed to this. And basically, her fears, I kind of just listened to what her fears were when we went back and forth. And she's like, well, you know, a lot of Christians are hypocrites and this and that and this and that. And I basically acknowledged her fears, and I said, you're right, and that's not of God, and this is what I'm basically what I told, you know, have already said to you, that this is a story about redemption and love. This isn't a story that this perfect angel, Abby Johnson, you know, was always doing the right thing. No, she failed, and she needed to be redeemed, as we all do. All of us have fallen short. All of us. So that's my or chant, if you will, is that see the movie because it's about redemption. I had another friend who also had an abortion, and I was very terrified, actually, to tell her about it, because
sure.
I just didn't, you know, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, you don't want to sound judgy, and I think just because the way I said it, because it really was so out of love for her, she was like, are you going to be okay? I don't want you to get attacked. I mean, she was like actually fearful for me, and I'm like, no. So I believe she's going to see the film. I just put up something on Instagram about an article that was posted. Oh, I think you talked about the Florida one.
Yeah.
And
totally amazing.
And that was cool. She liked it. So whether she'll see the film, I don't know. But I'm basically just asking people to have an open mind and open heart. There's some I know that no matter what I say, they're, you know, the woman that I was telling you about that I emailed, she watched. She said she stopped the trailer. She wouldn't even finish it, which is disturbing. Because if it's that disturbing to you, then you should watch it.
Right.
You know, I didn't know half the stuff I knew before getting into this film at all.
Well, I think ultimately, and that's the like when it comes up in the movie. And I've been around the pro-life movement for years and have been a part of it. But the reality that even Planned Parenthood recognizes when you've got Christians outside praying. Their turnaway rates go way up, and people decide to change their minds. At least not that day. They're not going to get an abortion. And I think you see people praying. It reminds you, because you're made in God's image, whether somebody's totally anti-God or not, they're still made in His image, and they're reminded of the divine. That's not a clump of cells. It's a human being, also made in God's image, that's residing in your body. And I think it's just a powerful reminder that we're dealing with holy ground there, even in the midst of all that. So we can just pray for people like that. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You shared it with her and tried. That's what we're responsible for. We're responsible to be faithful, Robin, as you know. And then fruitfulness is God's side of the deal. But we have
to
be faithful.
We just drop those seeds.
That's right. Yeah. And then we get eternal rewards for it. That's not a bad deal.
No, we went out every way with God. He's so awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Robin, thank you so much for your part in the film. Thank you for calling in today and for being a part of this movement. It's really just a huge blessing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for supporting it.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Talk to you later.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Robin DeMarco. She plays the role of Kathleen, Abby's mother. She does a great job, and that just shows you how good of an actress she is, because I would have never guessed, based on the way she played it, that she's not a mom herself. But that just shows you that she's good at her craft. And again, somebody that realizes the spiritual impact of this, the spiritual importance of this. And again, for people like this article, this is from the Central Florida Post. This film will challenge you in a way that politically charged Facebook disputes never will, by a woman named Bridget Bailey. I've always been pro-choice. When I was invited to attend the showing of Unplanned, I hesitated. I can't go there. I'm a libertarian. I really do not want anything to do with that. And her friend said, just come with me and be respectful and try to have an open mind. That's the invitation. Do you have a pro-choice friend? I hope you do. That means you're a little outside the Christian bubble. I hope you do. The question is, will you invite them? You must. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Today, opening nationwide, Unplanned, the unplannedfilm.com is the website, unplannedfilm.com, the story of Abby Johnson, who was in college and became a volunteer at Planned Parenthood. Her parents raised her to be pro-life. But she was like, oh, well, I'm also pro-women and pro-women's rights. And yeah, it should be a woman's right to decide what to do with her own body, and bought the lie. And so she became a volunteer. And then once she graduated, she went on staff at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas, then became their counselor. She graduated with a psychology degree, became the counselor. And then once the head person, the director of that clinic, moved up and got promoted to Houston, she became the clinic director, Planned Parenthood clinic director. And her parents are believers. She was raised in a Southern Baptist home. And can you imagine? I can't imagine dealing with that as a parent. It's one thing to have a kid that's kind of walked away from the church for a while. It's another thing when your kid is a Planned Parenthood director. And like Abby says in the movie, and if you've ever read the book Unplanned, and I would suggest that you do, the movie's super powerful. To read both is phenomenally helpful. because you get the full, even more information, even more details in the book, which is also called Unplanned. But to deal with that is just really, really amazing to think about all that. And so all that paradox and the people inside the clinic who are laughing and being kind to one another and hanging out and drinking coffee in the break room, just like normal people at a normal job in a normal environment. All the while, you've got, especially on Saturdays and other days of the week, and then RU486, and just like, I can't remember if it was, I don't think it was Robin, I think it was Mara called in. She didn't even know about RU486, which is the abortion pill, okay? And last year, the stats show about 46%, almost half of all abortions in America were RU486, which is taking place in the comfort of your own home. You don't have to face Christians outside praying or holding up signs or whatever. You go in, you get your pill, you have to take the first one there, and then they send you home. Hey, yeah, take some Advil. Use a heating pad. Take a hot bath. And then for Abby Johnson, whose second abortion was via the RU486 pill, it's excruciating. She bled like crazy. You basically have a miscarriage there in the comfort of your own home, so to speak. And she's in that's a bathroom scene. It's pretty bloody. Because that's what it is. So it's rated R because this stuff is violent, because this stuff is bloody. Okay? It is what it is. But there is, and you keep hearing that from people, there is a thread. It's faint at first, but it grows. A thread of redemption. The promise of forgiveness through Christ. Which they don't do some big soapbox presentation of the gospel in the film. But if you take anybody that you don't know if they know the Lord, that's the first thing one of the first things you talk about after you come out. What do you think about that? Do you think God could forgive somebody like Abby Johnson, complicit in the murder of 22,000 children? Because I can pound the pulpit all day on the truth of the issue, but we also have to have compassion for people who have bought the lie. I don't know if you got saved when you were really young or you got saved when you were older. There were all kinds of lies I bought. We're all susceptible to that. And so I had a friend on Facebook sent me a note earlier today. I'm not going to tell you the contents of it other than to say he took me up on that challenge. I said, hey, you say you're a pro-life Christian. I just ask, you know, prove it to me. One way you can prove it, hopefully you're praying about it, but most of us don't. Maybe you give some money to a crisis pregnancy center or a pro-life cause. Most of us don't. Maybe you're a gold star pro-life person. You actually show up at an abortion clinic from time to time and pray. And you're part of that, trying to reach out, trying to be light in the darkness. Most of us don't even know where abortion clinics are. And so like that Francis Schaeffer quote that got shared the other day at one of our screenings here in North Carolina, it said something like Francis Schaeffer basically was saying, hey, this abortion clinic is open and performing abortions today at the express consent of the local church. Because we don't show up. I don't want to deal with it. It's too heavy. It's too dark. It's going to make people feel condemned. Guess what? If you're outside of Christ, you're condemned already by your sin. It doesn't have to be that one. And we don't want to see it. We don't want to deal with it. So we turn our head. Most people don't. Do you know where your local abortion clinic is? Have you ever seen one? You ever stood outside of one? Odds are that you haven't. I think probably in this audience, the odds are there's a higher percentage of people that are engaged at that level. I know many people that listen to the show and are part of Facebook Live that stand outside of clinics. Jan and Sarah and Carla, I know a lot of people, Josh, all kinds of people that stand outside. And they try to love people. They try to provide that light in the darkness. Most of us, listen, I was saved in 1994. I didn't even think about the abortion issue until about 2004 when all of a sudden I became a Christian activist in the public. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I should probably say something about abortion these days. 1994 to 2004, that's 10 years of apathy. As a believer, born again. Now, I wasn't there. My wife and I were married in 92, saved in 94 in Columbus, Ohio. I wasn't there that Sunday when the surgeon and somebody else came to the church. Now, this shows you a strong pastor brings a Christian surgeon in to explain the realities of abortion. He calls in to explain. He's there. He's at the church. I don't know where I was, but I wasn't at church that day. But my wife was. And right before we got saved, she was pro-choice. Been down that road, had a friend, things like that. She hadn't had an abortion herself, but she had thought about it. If I get pregnant, you know, I had the same opinion. But she was there that Sunday when her courageous, biblical, responsible pastor brought people in to share the truth about abortion. And in a day, in an instant, really, just like her salvation, she realized the truth and became pro-life. And I'd always wanted to work in a crisis pregnancy center, and she does now. Finally, the seasons have changed in our life with our kids, and she's there. And I try to do more than I've done before. I have a platform. It's easy to do that, Facebook, radio, whatever. That's easy. Duh. Big deal, right? Don't give me a gold star or something because I talk about it a lot on the air. That's easy. It's easy. Whoop-de-doo. Don't be impressed by that. Showing up, giving, sacrificing time, treasure, getting involved. I'm telling you, the first thing, remember a couple years ago, there was a nationwide kind of anti-Planned Parenthood protest where people were showing up, Christians nationwide. It was a really well-orchestrated effort to go stand. It was on a Saturday, go stand outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic. We had one that when I first went into syndication in 2016, there was literally a Planned Parenthood clinic about three blocks away in downtown Raleigh. I didn't even know it was there until I was driving by one day. I'm like, oh, Planned Parenthood. I know what happens there. And I had to drive by it literally every day. And my prayer was always the same. Lord, I pray for the people that are thinking about coming here that you would just get all over them and they would change their mind and choose life. Lord, I pray for the people that work inside here that they would come to their senses and repent and leave and confess and be saved if they don't know you. And then, Lord, my third prayer was a little more aggressive. Empty the place out and burn it to the ground. That was my prayer pretty much every day. But that one Saturday, nationwide, people were showing up at a Planned Parenthood clinics. And I went out there that day. That Saturday. I had been to abortion clinics before, but that day I went out there and I was curious to see what would happen. And there were a few hundred people there. And I had a chance to interview some people. I had a little digital recorder with me and I was interviewing people, especially people that had never done anything like that before. And I said, how did it feel when you first decided you were going to come, that you were going to be here today? Well, you know, I knew I was doing the right thing, but I was nervous. And then how about this morning when you left to drive here? How'd you feel? Well, I felt nervous. Did you feel anything else? Yeah, it felt good. Yeah, obedience always does. And then when they got there, a little nervous, then they see other people there, they see a bunch of Christians there, and by the time I'm talking to them, they feel really inspired, full of the Holy Spirit, blessed for their obedience, and engaged. And they're all like, I should have done this years ago. That's right. Because seeing Unplanned this weekend, which you need to, unplannedfilm.com, seeing Unplanned this weekend, Josh Kappas, one of my friends at Love Life, a great pro-life organization here in North Carolina, said it at one of our screenings. Seeing Unplanned right now is like seeing Schindler's List in 1943 while you're living in Germany. This is real. It's happening. It's been happening a whole lot longer than 5 years. It's been happening since 1973 under the guise of illegal activity, but longer than that. But in America since 1973, legalized. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that should never have been a decision of the court. That should be a legislative issue. Got to give her a prop for that. But all those years, and we just rather not deal with it. Pastors rather not deal with it. Why? Because they know they've got post-abortive people in the pew. They know they've got some pro-choice people in the pew. And if they hammer the pew too much or the pulpit too much and they're talking about the life issue and the clear biblical realities of it, then they know they're going to upset a certain percentage of the congregation, and a couple of the people they might upset are big givers. That's a problem, right? If you trust in man only. But the boldness that comes with the Holy Spirit, if you're going to speak the truth of God, is always going to carry you through. Always. Once you learn that, you become more bold. But so many pastors, one of the pastors recently that was a part of one of the screenings, he talked to me privately after. He says, you know what? I've been a wimp on this one for years. And I was wrong. And I'm going to start talking about it, and we're going to get engaged. And that's the power of this film. It's not a gratuitous visit to a Planned Parenthood clinic. It's just an accurate one. And you're not looking, to be quite frank, you're not staring in between a woman's legs watching it happen. You're watching it on an ultrasound, which is actually in many ways worse because you see the baby that squirms to try to get away from the abortionist. And by the way, in the film, the abortionist that's performing the abortion, the suction abortion, where the baby recoils and tries to get away and then obviously loses. The abortionist in the movie, his name's Dr. Levitino. He was an abortionist. He isn't anymore. He's a born-again Christian. He's a pro-life advocate. And he was on the show recently. Incredible. And he did second trimester abortions. But it's real. It's the truth. And if you don't ever deal with the truth, you'll never find freedom. So guys, gentlemen, if you've been down this road, you were complicit, you were part of it, I pray that you'll have the courage to go see it. Face that truth, because God will meet you there. and he offers you healing. And you can finally be free of that if you'll come to him and ask him. Because he'll do it. Ladies, are you post-abortive? Have you been down that road? Maybe more than once. It's not the unforgivable sin. It's difficult. It's dark, of course. But it's not unforgivable. And God can heal you. He can set you free from that burden if you'll take it to him. It might start this weekend if you go see Unplanned. Unplannedfilm.com. This is Steve Noble. God willing, on Monday, we'll be talking about miracles. We'll be talking about what God did. We'll be talking about what you did. Go see the film. This is Steve Noble. God willing, we'll talk then.